Last night, I shared with you guys a thought about the prophecies that were fulfilled concerning the coming of the Messiah. And this morning, Brian Ormond posted on his Facebook page something really neat. And I've heard this before. Some of you probably have heard it before. I've quoted it before in the past. But statistically, they've looked at the statistics of Jesus fulfilling 300 prophecies, and it is astronomical that one man could fulfill 300 prophecies from the Old Testament. So this guy wrote a book called "Who Moved the or Science Speaks." It's called, or "Who Moved the Stone." And I want to read to you what he posted this morning on his Facebook page, which I thought was really interesting. It says, "We reflect on the depth of God's love that he would send his only begotten son into the world to save us. Conservatively, there are over 300 predictions that were documented centuries before the birth of Jesus. Jesus later fulfilled all of these in his 33 years on earth. In the book Science Speaks by Peter Stoner and Robert Newman, they discussed the statistical improbabilities of one man, whether accidentally or deliberately, fulfilling just 8 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. The chance of this happening, they say, is 1 in 10^17. Stoner presents a scenario that illustrates the magnitude of such odds. He says, suppose that we take silver dollars and we lay them on the face of Texas. Now, you guys, if you've ever been to Texas, it's big. It's real big, you know? And so we went across it one time, and when I was a kid, and you know, when you're a kid, it's even worse. But it seemed like it took days. It took like a lot of hours, but it seemed like it took days. And it's just a big place. And so cover all of the face of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep. Then mark one silver dollar in that entire state, right? 2 feet deep. Mark one of them red, blindfold a person and tell them that they can walk over the entire state and they have to pick that one red one, blindfolded. And so he goes on and he says, what chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man, from their day to the present time, providing they were using their own wisdom. The mathematical improbability of 300 prophecies, or 45, or just 8 of Jesus, stands as evidence to his messiahship. So just 8 prophecies, just think about the improbability of that happening by having that one red marked silver dollar be picked by a blindfolded person in Texas. You know, and it's amazing when you look at what Jesus did and what he came to accomplish. Now, I want to read to you a couple of things that Jesus said. This is found in the Gospel of John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, verse 13, let me read to you what he says here. It's really neat. And this is at the Last Supper. This is at the time when he's getting ready to go to the cross. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends." So Jesus was explaining to the apostles that what he was going to do was really the greatest act of love that we could ever, ever grasp or understand. The fact that God became a man, lived a sinless life, and then went to a cross to die a criminal's death to take your place and my place. You were the criminal that should have died. I'm the criminal that should have been dying. Yet he laid down his life on that cross in our place. Then in John chapter 10, he says this. In John chapter 10, and it kind of brings it out even more. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father," and I love this, "and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And this is really key to this whole idea of Jesus coming into the world to die for our sins. He says this, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command that I received is from my Father. And so no one took his life. You know, we look at the whole story of what happened, the scenario, all the things that surrounded the crucifixion of Jesus. All of that was foreordained by God. The fact that he would come and lay down his life. And even remember when we read the shepherd's accounts or the angel's account and talking about why Jesus came. They said, to you is born a Savior. And then when he spoke to Joseph, he said, and you shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world was literally to lay down his life on the cross, pay the debt of our sins, and to offer to whosoever would believe eternal life. And so I believe John 3:16 and what it says. For God so loved the world, and I've said this many times, take the world out and put your name there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. So this is the story of Christmas. The Christmas story is about that. We're going to look at this one last verse, and Kevin's going to put up that little thing we had up last night. I just changed the verse. And the verse is going to be Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And this is really awesome because this really is the gospel in a very, very small nutshell. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the dilemma. That's the difficulty that all of us are born into. Adam and Eve sinned. They passed death on to us. They passed sin on to us. We were born with it. Then, as a result of sin, everyone dies. And so the wages of sin is death. But, it says, the gift of God, and that's what we talk about for Christmas. The gift of God is his Son. He sent his Son. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we had the problem, and then we had the solution. The problem was we were all fallen, sinful. We needed a Savior. The solution, God sent his Son to lay down his life. No one took it. He gave it freely. And so he laid down his life. So this morning, you know, we celebrate Jesus' coming. We celebrate his birth. But mostly, we realize why he came and what he came to accomplish for us. That if it wasn't for what Jesus did for us on the cross, none of us would stand a chance before God. Because we would stand before God completely guilty of our sins. And if every one of us, or any one of us, would ever meet God in the condition that we're in, unregenerate, unsaved, unforgiven, we would stand before God guilty and condemned for our sins. But because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can stand before God now, justified, cleansed, and righteous, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ applied to our lives. He took our sins, he gives us his righteousness. So we remember that this morning as we partake of communion. So we're going to partake of communion, and the worship team is going to come back up. And then after that, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And then we have a birthday cake over there. And so you can start off your day with some more sweets. And we'll partake of that together. So as we sing this song, we have communion cups. And they're two in one. And so you can come and take a cup. And we'll partake together. So hold on to it. The bread and the little juice are together, and we'll partake of communion this morning in remembrance of what Jesus did for us and loving us enough to go to the cross and take our place. Amen? All right.